to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City. They have become the title sponsor of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. How about that? Thank you very much, First National Bank and Trust. Appreciate it. Love all you guys. All right, let's check out all the temperatures around the area, or some randoms. Let's start down in the southwestern part of Oklahoma. Let's go to Hollis, 45 degrees, 45 at Eric, 41 degrees at Arnett, home of Lori Campbell, famous Lori Campbell, 39 degrees at Woodward, home of my buddy Mark Klingenpill, 38 at Slapout, 37 at the May Ranch, 39 at Cherokee, and out here in the Panhandle. All in the 40s, 40 at Lipscomb, 43 at Miami, 46 at Wellington, and 45 at Odell. And today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour, all hour today. We have more on them here in just a little bit. Text line is wide open today at 580-225-9697. If you got something you want to talk about or respond to something I might say or might not say. Anyway, we'll go with that. I will say that I was looking in the monthly Oklahoma Beef Council mail out that they put out, the mailer they put out from the beef board, and I opened it up in there, and there she is, the world famous Lacey Swope's in there. And what was cool is the Oklahoma Beef Council had the opportunity to share about Oklahoma beef into newscast here lately. In June, Nikki Snyder and Heather Buckmaster held a cookout for News 9 employees featuring all beef hot dogs and celebrating the upcoming 4th of July. And I know this is kind of late, but that's all right. This picture is pretty cool. They also had the opportunity to share about properly cooking steaks and hamburgers during some on-air segments in the 9 a.m. newscast. But Lacey's one of my favorite people in the world, and I just thought I'd throw that out there because the last half beef she got in her freezer come from Clark Farm. So she loves her beef, and don't think she does. And she does a lot of canning and all that good stuff. So she's just a good all-around Oklahoma person. Anyway, so let's see what happened overnight in the ag world. And wheat futures were down again in overnight trading amidst ongoing concern about U.S. supplies as Ukraine exports ramp up. Grain shipments have been moving through the so-called humanitarian corridor in the Black Sea, with four ships departing Ukrainian ports already this week, and more loading in the Odessa region. But anyway, the European Union may use grain from Ukraine to supply Egypt, the world's biggest importer of the grain. As the conflict between Palestine and Israel escalates, the Financial Times is reporting, citing two European Union officials, U.S. wheat exports since the start of the marketing year on June 1st stand at 6.76 million metric tons. That's down almost 24% year-over-year data from the Department of Agriculture. Buyers have committed to purchase 11.1 million metric tons from the U.S. since the beginning of June, down 6% from the same period last year, according to the USDA. Wheat futures overnight for December delivery fell 5.75 cents to $5.60 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. And Kansas City futures dropped 7.75 cents to $6.37 and a quarter cents a bushel. Corn for December delivery rose a quarter of a penny to 4.78 and a half a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell a penny and a half to $13.05 and three quarter a bushel. Soy meal was down $1.80 to $4.28.30 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.34 cents to 52.05 cents a pound. Grain inspections and corn inspections and wheat inspections for overseas delivery. Corn, for example, rose to 531 million metric tons in the 7 days that ended last Friday. That's up from 449,000 tons a week earlier. Wheat for offshore delivery improved to 189,000 tons. That's up, 20,000 tons from the previous week. And it's also higher than the 137,000 inspected last year. Soybean inspections dropped to 1.89 million metric tons, the agency said. That's down from 2.63 million a week earlier. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 4.95 million metric tons of corn, and that's up from 4.22 million last year. Soybean stands at 9.45 million tons, which is down from the 10.2 million assessed same point last year. Wheat inspections since the start of the grains marketing year on June 1st is now at 7.11 million tons, and that's down from 9.65 million during the same period last time. Weather-wise, in our Farm Belt, freeze warnings remain in effect for a large part of the eastern and southern Midwest. I know I had some major frost at my house this morning. I showed 24 degrees, but I live down there on the river, so it's always a little chillier down there than it is up in the upper part of the hills there. In central and eastern Oklahoma, temperatures overnight fell as low as 22 degrees. Another freeze warning will take effect over tonight into Wednesday, as temperatures are forecast to fall around 27 degrees in most parts of Oklahoma, according to the National Weather Service. In central Indiana, temperatures this morning are still hovering around 25 degrees. Freezing weather will again occur tonight, as they're supposed to get down to around 24 degrees. Strong winds are expected in parts of northeastern Iowa throughout the morning. Winds are forecast to be 20 to 30 miles an hour, with gusts up to 45 expected. There you go. Might even be some light snow in that area. Never know. Anyway, so yesterday when I got home, I checked down in the bottom below my house, 30 acres down there. And the rye is up, solid, full stand. Looks like a professional farmer actually did it. And then I go up there on that hill that I was telling you guys about, the wireworm. And still, 15-acre field, not one strand of rye is up. So I did a little more research and talked to Kent down at SEI yesterday when I stopped by there, and he told me what the wireworm turns into, and then I did a little research on that. Yep, it's what it is. So the wireworm, actually, I've talked to some people and they've never heard of such crap. They think I'm making this up, like I did the farmer's wife's holiday, the fish one, their holiday. I didn't make that up. We just did it. It was nice to do it, but I'm not. It's it turns into the click beetle. Once it is matures out of its little wireworm stage, it's called the click beetle, and you guys have seen them. It's a little odd looking black bug, and it looks like it's two bugs together. They're attached there in the middle, but that's what it ends up being, is the click beetle. So anyway, someone sowing 70 almost 75 pounds to the acre, and not one seed came up. And I dug around again yesterday, and I cannot find a sprout, but maybe I'm not that smart. I don't know. But anyway, if you got some fields out there that I know we got army worms that probably should be going hibernating by now with these cold snaps, but got grasshoppers, they should be gone. But if you got something out there that ain't looking right, just dig down in there in your furrow, and just keep digging. If you see this little critter that's about an inch long and got six legs on it, kind of not at the front of its body, but in the, just Google wireworm. You'll see what it looks like. And I'll post the wireworm on KCO's Facebook page right after the show today, so you guys know what it looks like. So we got that going on. Well, today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Hour. They are seeing dramatic increase in foot rot cases as a result of all the recent moisture this summer. Early treatment is key to avoid production loss and to minimize hoof, toe, and joint damage. Let us help as soon as lameness is detected. Also, please remember to keep an eye on your pets and livestock as ticks are thriving, and they're still thriving. I found two on one of my dogs yesterday. Ticks carry diseases for our pets and rob our livestock of production and weight gains. Contact us for easy treatment and prevention programs for all species except snakes, is what I was told. She don't like snakes. That's all I can tell you. It's also time to plan a fall calf working and a vaccination program for your herds. Call us and we can work together on a program and schedule that will fit your needs and production schedule. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there already preg checking or should have already been preg checking. Also providing a full line of equine services, including vaccines and dental. Remember, that's good clean water is the most important nutrient for all of our pets and livestock. Please check your water resources regularly. And we're going, if I got time today in the last segment, I got a deal on water for you guys you want to hear. Proudly serving all Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, providing full service to all species in a complete mixed animals practice. Call Dr. Taylor Mouse, or should we say Dr. Taylor Goodman, but I'm sticking with Dr. Taylor Mouse, at 580-225-0200 to schedule a visit or for after-hours emergency service. All right, let's take a break. When I come back, I got cattle reports for you. I got Mr. Brandon Hickey on from the Elk City, and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be talking with us, see what's going on in the market, what's changed in the last week. And I don't know, let me read to you what he said when I asked him if he was good to go today. Let's see, what did he say? I said, are you good for today for 12:15, sir? He said, if you dare. So anyway, he must be in the Halloween mood. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Blair Tire and Feed is hitting the pause button so they can renovate. Blair Tire and Feed will be closed from October 27th through November 5th. Then they'll reopen Monday, November 6th, and they'll be better than ever. But even during renovations, they'll still answer the phone and service trucks will still run. So if you've got a tire that needs fixed, just call 580-563-2692. 563-2692. Blair Tire and Feed is shutting down for renovations October 27th through November 5th. Then reopen November 6th. Thanks for your patience. They'll see you soon.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, do you guys really do that? And the answer was, we replaced two last week.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Wellington, Texas, 47 degrees, wind chills at 41, humidity's at 38, dew points at 22. The winds are out of the northeast at 14 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 28 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.13 inches of rain at Wellington. That's pretty good for, October for Wellington? That's a little, it's a dry kind of area down in there. So anyway, let's get 453 minutes of sub-freezing minutes today, and 8-inch soil temperature is 49 degrees. That's your forecast, or not forecast, but your weather update for out in Wellington, Texas. All right, I didn't get a hold of Brandon. He's in the middle of a cow deal somewhere, but he'll call me back here shortly. So let's just see what the update is on the grains and the meats are going on right now. December corn is at 480, up 2 today. March is 494. May is 503. Soybeans for November, 1292, up 9, over 9, actually, almost 10 cents. January is 1314. March is 1328. May is 1341. Soybean meal for December, 432.50, up $6. January is 419.10, up 520. March is 407.20. Soybean oil is down about a half a cent at 51.93 for December. January is 51.24, and March is 50.83. Hard red winter wheat. December 6.29, down 16 cents today. March is 6.41. May is 6.49, and July 6.56. Everything in the wheat is down. Cotton, it's down, way down. Oh man, didn't know it was going down that fast. December cotton is at 81.66, down 1.25. March is 83.85, and May is 84.97. Oil, West Texas Intermediate oil is December 81.41, is down 90 cents today. January is $80.88. Natural gas is up today about like 0.23 at 358, and for December and January is 381. All right, live cattle futures, October 183.75, December is 183.40, February is 184.65, April's one, bam, hang on, blinked on me, April's 186.72. Feeder cattle for November, 237.75, up 7 cents today. 237.25 for January, up 37 cents. Up 40 cents is March at 239.77, and April's 243.57, up 40 cents. Lean hogs for December, 71.52, up 35 cents. February is 74.75, April's 80.02, and May is 85.42. How about that? And let me see here. The Dow, S&P, NASDAQ's all in the black today or the green on my screen here, and not looking too bad. Nothing crazy going on as far as the markets are concerned, except for cotton. It wasn't that way yesterday. So, of course, cotton harvest is going on. What a better time to bring the prices down. Okay, let's check into this update on the next. I got one update to give you on the Farm Bill. Amid the uncertainty as to when the next Farm Bill will be passed, Bart Fetcher, co-director of the Ag and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M, discusses two topics, and we're going to talk about one of them. Experience ongoing debate with our guys up there in D.C. that could have a big effect on the growers' bottom line. The first debate Fetcher talks about is over an update to base acres. That's one we're going to talk about today. There's nothing simple about base acres, he says. It's important to distinguish a few things. One is mandatory versus voluntary, and the other is updating versus reallocating. The 2014 Farm Bill saw a voluntary reallocation of base acres. This means growers' base will be an average of what they planted in the past 5 years, and the total could go up or down. If their cropping mix had changed, there was the voluntary opportunity to update that number. Fast forward to present day. Fisher says that one of the proposals being put on the table is a mandatory update, which means the total number of acres could change. The question is it mandatory or voluntarily? The challenge with voluntary is it gets very expensive, he says. There's interest in doing a mandatory across the board update. The challenge with all that is that the devil is in its details, in the details. What time period do you use? What years do you use? Overall, Fisher says the biggest challenge is the lack of availability of available electronic data, which makes it hard to tell at a national level who will be impacted by specific changes. You have members of Congress who have to take votes on these things. On the surface, there might be an interest, and they say, hey, let's do a mandatory base update. But if I can't tell that member who's going to be affected and the degree to which the producer is going to be affected, all of a sudden, there's a lot of political risk. And one thing I can guarantee you, members of Congress don't like doing is making decisions where they don't really know what's or who is going to be impacted. Fisher believes a mandatory base acre update is extremely unlikely. Instead, he expects something voluntary to go on to appear on the next Farm Bill. However, it all depends on the funding. Rather than a full-blown base update where there's just so much political risk, could there be some targeted opportunities to add base in cases where we don't have base on the farm? I think you could potentially see something like that, he says. That comes back to the broader conversation of there's going to be new money on the Farm Bill and where it's coming from. So there you go. How about that? That's one of them. Tomorrow we'll discuss the other. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break. And when we come back, either I'll have Brandon on, or we're going to continue on with Hay Day Tuesdays. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Unbelievable! You have one last chance to take advantage of unlimited internet from Sparklight for just $25 a month. Get reliable 100 meg internet for just $25 a month for 12 months with unlimited data. That's unlimited internet. That's uninterrupted streaming, unending downloads, and unmatched connectivity. Call 888-998-8630 or visit sparklight.com/savings. Unleash your internet today. Sparklight, a new breed and high speed. Limited time offer, new customers only. After 12 months, regular rate of $50 a month applies, subject to change. Speeds may slow if data usage surpasses 5 terabytes.
You worked, and you sweat, and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall bin hoppers. take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Some like it hot, some like it cold, some like it like Sean Wilson and Jimmy Clark, 90 years old. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 23rd. 1,566 head were sold, 11 head of steers at 493, brought 236, 7 at 521, brought 276, 10 at 578, brought 262, 4 at 658, brought 204, 20 at 724, brought 230, 65 at 775, brought 235, 23 at 861, brought 231, 3 head of heifers at 463, brought 229, 5 at 493, brought 220, 6 at 530. 34 brought 217, 10 at 577 brought 225, 7 at 610 brought 224, 8 at 626 brought 234, 6 at 986 brought 190, butcher cows were 26 to 117, butcher bulls brought 98 to 115, bred cows were 1300 to 1485, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095. God bless you, Jimmy Clark.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here I am. I'm back. I got him on the phone with me. First, I got to do this ag weather update for Freedom, Oklahoma. Currently, it's 41 degrees, feels like 34. Dew point's 13, humidity's 31. Winds are out of the north at 13, with wind gusts up to 18. 10-day rainfall total, 0.47 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 47. Pretty chilly up there in the bare soil tonight. Sunset 6:42. Sunny, 45 today, 23 for a low tonight, and nice tomorrow, 59 degrees. Well, on the phone with me, dare I do this, is Mr. Brandon Hickey. What's going on, Mr. Brandon?
Well, it's a beautiful day. The sun's shining, and I bet the wheat is growing.
Okay. Tomorrow, maybe. I don't know about where you live, but it was pretty frosty where I was this morning.
It's still pretty chilly too, probably too chilly for wheat to grow, but that sunshine sure is nice.
Oh yeah, I bet it starts growing, probably starting tomorrow. That's what I was shocked by, bare soil temperature up there at Freedom. I think last week was like 65 degrees, and it's already at 47, so that's pretty chilly.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Well, you had some good sales. What happened at Elk City Friday?
Shorter run with the rain and the mud around, which was to be expected, but market was good. Lots of buyers in the barn, lots of activity. I think we had a lot of guys that come to check the market to see what they're doing, see what they're going to be doing, what they want to be doing. Barn was just full of people all day long. Had a considerably smaller run than normal for this time of year. with just over 1,200, but I think that was mostly due to the nice rain and the mud that was around. It kind of kept some of them at home. A lot of those are probably going to show up this week. We're expecting a really big run, good, nice run of cattle this week coming in.
Well, did anything stick out Friday as far as steers or the heifers?
No, nothing stuck out too much. The three-weight cattle, which we didn't have a lot of them, but the three-weight boys and girls both were very, very much in demand. I mean, that was where we probably had the most competition, was on the three-weights. It took a good jump on some of them three-weight cattle. Just wasn't very many of them to go around for them guys. And I mean, they were butting heads on them and lots of competition on them. I think, I think you looked there on our market sample, was a set of them three-weights all the way up there around that 359 range. And that's getting up there on them boy cattle again, getting back like it was, a couple of months ago.
Well, you hit it on the nail last Friday or last Tuesday when you gave your personal opinion. I'm sorry, I got to laugh. Anyway, when you gave your personal opinion of what the market, the futures crashing was there, I was talking about the report was supposed to come out on Friday and it was leaked on Thursday. And I just wanted to give you a pat on the back. I seen an article on one of the ag news webs yesterday that you hit it right on the nail. And so, yeah. They didn't come right out and say it like you, but they were pretty close. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a big shout out on that you were right. If the major news source is reporting what you said, it's gotta be, mm-hmm. it's gotta be real.
So anyway, the
slaughter cattle they didn't do too bad Friday, but they are down a little bit, aren't they?
They are, but the really good high yielders are still up there. I mean, we still had a 118 top on a cow. I don't remember what her top bull was, but I mean, if they've got a good yield to them, holy smokes, they're still up there. But we are seeing considerably discounts on them thinner cows now, them lighter carcass cows. We're still getting some feeding cow orders in the barn that's helping with that. But some of these cows, we're starting to see it now show up with these big calves pulling on them, and their yields are getting back down there in the 30s. And that's not real cost efficient for them packers, so they sure pull back their bids on them or they put them on feed. And that's really nice that we're getting some feeding cows sent out and helping with that price a little bit.
Well, your sale at Clinton yesterday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, your count was way down on that. But, I mean, you can understand. And you know what? As farmers and our cattle producers out here, farmers, ranchers, whatever you want to say there, we appreciate you taking a hit yesterday for us because we didn't get them to the sale barn.
Yeah. Well, I hope we set a record yesterday or not for our smallest one ever, but we had the good cattle we had, did well. We still had buyers in the barn and good activity on those cattle, I was happy to see that. But good cattle are easy to sell, big groups or little groups. It's always easy to sell good cattle, that's what we saw yesterday there at Western Oklahoma. It's pretty small run, but those good running cattle still bring good, and lots of activity, lots of bidders on that one smooth load of 850 weight heifers we had. They was bidding all over the barn for them, and guys on the phone with feedlots that are needing cattle, wanting them feedlot ready cattle. So.
Yeah, I was just looking that up. You had a group of 59 weight 847 brought 209. That's pretty good money for heifers.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, are you still suggesting that if you are thinking seriously about doing your replacements, go ahead and get her done now, because they might get even crazier? We don't know that, but you never know. And But I think looking at some of these prices, you know, I know you can go out there and buy some 3- and 4-year-old bred cows right now, you know, for what, $1,700 to $2,000, or you can get one of these, get some of these 5- and 6-weights right now, so you'll have them ready for the spring for spring breeding. That's not too bad to get started right now with some of those heifers.
No.
Did I lose you? Brandon, did I lose you? Hang on here. Let me try this. Brandon, are you there?
No.
There.
Here.
Yeah, there. I got you back now. I mean, you went dead there for a second.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened. I'm sitting still, so it's not my signal this time.
It could be me.
I expect that calf deal get, you know, drifting up as we move forward here into November and December. There's going to be less of them available, and you know, with possible with this rain potential of having some more pasture available, there's going to be more demand and less supply, and I think these things are going to get higher moving forward. And so yeah, you know, I think if you've got a replacement heifer project on your mind, it's time to be getting to town and getting them bought, because we're sure seeing a lot of good ones right now, but that those numbers are going to start dwindling as we get on in here to the middle of November, and especially once we get past Thanksgiving into December, the numbers of those available are gonna start dwindling, and with this wheat, if this wheat does go ahead and jump, start growing, and we get some fall grazing, the demand is gonna get up there the bigger that wheat gets. So you know, I anticipate this thing getting better moving forward, and I think this calf deal is going to get better moving forward now, regardless of what the futures board does. You know, I don't think the futures board is going to have a much effect on these cash prices for the next several months now, because these cattle are going to be in demand. We've got through the big glut of our fall deal, which you know, was bigger than what I anticipated, but not as big as usual. But you know, we're getting towards the end of that glut, and we're going to be going forward with less cattle, and I think we're going to continue to just get more and more guys that say, hey, I want to own some of these cattle. We're going to get more demand going forward, but we're going to have less supply to offer to those guys. So I anticipate this calf deal continuing to drift northward here going forward.
Well, as this one famous man that I know that comes on almost every Tuesday, unless Jimmy forgets to call him, once said that, you know, those guys that deal with the futures deal with paper. Out here in the real world, it's a whole different ball game.
Yes, sir.
You remember who anybody said that?
I vaguely remember that quote coming from somewhere, yes.
So, hey, what do you got coming up Friday, and what do you got coming up Monday that you know of so far?
We got our big wing calf sale coming up Friday. We're going to have 600-plus, sure enough, good long wing calves in that deal Friday. I don't know how many we'll end up with, but we'll sure be somewhere over 600 of them, and I think we'll be well over 1,600-1,800 unweaned calves to go along with the regular sale on top of that. But we're expecting 2,500 to 3,000 this week. We got some really big, nice consignments of weaned calves and unweaned calves both coming in. Ghostin's over there at Corn going to have about 250 home-raised calves in there, and Heffley from over at Briscoe going to have another truckload of his really good black baldies that topped the market there last Friday. And so we're anticipating a big run this week. We're gearing up for a big run this week, and it'll be a good week to see a lot of really good cattle. If somebody is wanting to buy some good calves, this is going to be a good week to see them, because we'll have a lot of really good weaned ones and unweaned ones both this week. And Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction coming up Monday. I've already got two loads of heavy 6-weight long grass yearling steers, long yearling grass steers consigned coming from out there in the Memphis, Texas area. That'll be a nice set of yearling steers. Be two loads of them run in one pop, and that's be exciting. lots of activity on them, and glad to have that nice consignment.
Brandon, look forward to talking to you next Tuesday, and good luck Friday and Monday. If you need anything, give us a shout.
We got by today without even stirring a pot too much.
I know, but wait a minute. I'm not finished. Hey, tell the ladies at the cafe at Elk City, I love you.
I will tell her that.
All right. See you later.
See you, Jimmy.
All right, bye. All right, thanks, Mr. Brandon Hickey, for that update from the Elk City Livestock and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Barn. Well, let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic. It's easier to say vet than veterinarian for me. But let's just take a break and be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When they call you, they want you to answer the phone, and whether it's Sunday, Saturday, or Monday, they also want customer service. Do what you say you're going to do. I mean, because when they're in a bind, they're in a bind. You want that company to think of you first. Oh, we need this. Well, call Brock. You call me. We'll get it taken care of. You needed a hose like yesterday. We will stop what we're doing. And if we got to go to our Oklahoma City shop and get it, we'll do that. And I've done that for a lot of my customers. If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done to a farmer, tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. We got, what do we got? Ag weather for Hobart. You know why I thought of Hobart? Because I'm doing the Hobart Farm and Garden forecast, ag forecast. And I was just down there yesterday. And I love that place. That's all I can tell you. They meet you with a smile. And you know me, I'm full of it. And I give them heck, and they smile even when I'm doing that to them. But anyway, they got everything you need in there. I mean, me, I go in there, my Browning flashlight that was like 3,000 lumens, finally shot it, and went and got me another one because it's important and I have a flashlight. And anyway, they had one in stock, and talked to them guys, and man, they got it going on outside with all the cattle panels, the working chutes, the work lanes. Inside, they got it going with guns and twisted X shoes and everything, and ammo and all that good stuff you need to do work on the farm, stuff like that. So anyway, if you get a chance, go down there and see them. They got it going on. Hobart, 46 degrees right now, feels like 40. Dew point's 27, humidity's 47. The winds are out of the northeast at 16 miles an hour. Rainfall in the last 10 days, check this out, 2.94 inches of rain in the last 10 days. And it looks wet down there, I'm not going to lie. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 49 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Sunset, 6:44 p.m. Today, 50 for a high. And winds are out of the north at 14 to 18 miles an hour. Tonight, chilly, 23 degrees. Northeast to south winds, 6 to 7 miles an hour. So she's going to be frosty when you get up in the morning. Tomorrow looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. 55 degrees with south winds, 7 to 15 miles an hour. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden forecast for Ag Forecast for Hobart, Oklahoma. Okay, it's Hay Day Tuesday. Let's see what's going on with the hay prices. Because there's a lot more prices on there this week than last, but I don't know if anything's changed dollar-wise. Alfalfa, let's start with premium alfalfa. Kansas, 250 to 370. Both of those numbers delivered. Missouri, 200 to 300 per ton, not delivered. New Mexico, 290 to 350. So I think alfalfa prices have creeped up just a little bit. Not much, maybe $10 a ton. Oklahoma, 180 to 220. Texas, 320 to 425, both of those being delivered. Good alfalfa in Kansas, 210 to 325. Missouri's 150 to 200. New Mexico, 240. Oklahoma, 180. And Texas, 310 to 340, both of those being delivered. And what we got for the grass? Our other forages, how about that? Kansas, 180 to 250 for premium grass. Missouri's 225. A ton for premium grass. Oklahoma's 175. Now it's delivered. That doesn't mean that's what it run for all over the state. That's just what was reported. You guys get that straight right now. But down in the big state, 240 to 390. So anyway, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you the difference between this report and last week. It looks like it's up at least $10 a ton that was reported. But the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, there hadn't been a lot of activity going on. So who knows about that. All right, what else we got going on here? Oh, I wanted to talk to you about weather and water intake in beef cattle. This is always an interesting subject because there's a lot of myths out there. You know, how many gallons of water does a cow drink a day? Well, I think it's 30 gallons a day. I think a big cow drinks 50 gallons a day. But I think it just depends on the cow and the bull and the calves. So we really don't know. But water is a nutrient needed to sustain all life, forms of life. In beef cattle, water is used within the body for growth, reproduction, regulation of body temperature, along with many other processes. Without adequate supplies of water, these processes cease or slow, causes reductions in performance, or even death. Given the importance of water to the body, it's imperative that researchers and producers alike understand factors that influence water intake in beef cattle. Water consumption needs to be further understood. However, water intake in beef cattle have proven to be difficult to estimate, like I was talking about. This is due to the animal individuality and an earlier lack of technology. Recently, technology has been developed to collect information on water intake on individual animal bases, and I'm going to go out on a limb on it. This was done at K-State. Probably what they had a guy standing out there measuring the water in the tank every time a cow got a drink, and then he would do his calculations, and that's how they come up with this, I think. Anyway, it has proven extremely useful for what they're doing. These developments in technology have allowed researchers to further examine the water intake patterns and amounts in cattle. Additionally, researchers are looking into developing equations to predict water intake in beef cattle. These equations utilize predictors, including weather, feed intake, and growth perimeters to estimate water intake. While these equations are not exact, they supply important insight into estimated water intake levels. These estimations can be used to ensure adequate supplies met for cattle in water fountains and tanks. Water intake levels can be influenced by environmental conditions such as weather. While weather impacts on water intake are more often considered during the warmer summer months, it's important to recognize the weather plays a vital role in animal behavior and water intake during the colder months also. Weather indices such as heat index and wind chill have been used to explain how a combination of weather variables feels to the body. Temperature and humidity are combined and accounted for within the heat index, while wind chill accounts for the combination of temperature and wind speed to determine heat loss from exposed skin. I noticed something yesterday. There was a lot of cattle looked cold early yesterday morning. When I pulled over here to check the cows west of Elk, they were running and playing. But the difference is those cows come from up north. And I think it is. I mean, they were playing. And all these other cows, not all the other cows, but what I seen, were just standing over there. They was cold. They weren't miserable, but they was cold. But mine were out there playing like it's recess at kindergarten. I don't know. During periods of hot temperatures, water intake increases to aid in cooling the body and to replenish water due to sweating, respiration, and urinating. In contrast, winter weather causes an increase in feed intake as animals look to maintain internal body temperature. Also, given the cooling properties of water, animals may drink less water in further efforts to maintain body temperature until more comfortable weather conditions are met. Additionally, animals will exhibit behaviors that conserve body heat, such as bedding down or gathering tightly in groups, which limits their movement and may cause less frequent visits to the water source. Even given these behavior changes, liquid water that is free of ice should always be available during the winter months. Yes, true fact right there. Additionally, water supply should never be restricted, no matter the weather conditions. Another one, the rule of thumb with females and bulls require 1 gallon of water per 100 pounds of body weight. If the female is got a calf in her or has a calf on her, the requirements increases to 2 gallons per 100 pounds of body weight. These requirements are estimations, and animals can drink above or below the given amount according to the environmental conditions. So typically 1.5 inches of water spacer per animal is sufficient. However, a general guideline is that cattle require 3 lineal inches of water space per animal during the month. Water testing is so important for your cattle. So nothing like, just like soil testing for your crops, guys. You really should get your water tested once a year, because I know down there in the breaks, that water there can go bad in a heartbeat. So during some really droughty months, so just test your water. Probably the best time to test it, if I'm guessing right, is in the middle of the summer, because that's probably when the water tables are the lowest and it'd probably be the crappiest water, if the water is bad or not as good as it should be. So there you have it. That's all I know on the water. And I think coming up this Saturday in Oklahoma City, November 4th, registration from 9:30, starts at 9:30. The Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association Day of Education. Protecting Freedom Cattlemen's Special Event Center there on 1325 South Agnew Avenue in Oklahoma City. That'll be going on this week. $50 pre-registration includes two meals and membership. Pay at the door or please send to OISA PO Box 1044 in Sealing, Oklahoma 73663. Again, the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association Day of Education will be this Saturday. Protecting the Freedom is the name of it at the Cattlemen Special Event Center there in Oklahoma City on Agnew Avenue. And if you got any questions, give me a text line. I'll get a text and I'll get you in touch with who you need to do. And we're going to have them on the show Thursday. Well, great show. Thanks for listening. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. See you guys tomorrow. God bless.
A John Deere work in the field. That's what country sounds like. 96.5 KECO, Elk City.
Iran gets called out on Capitol Hill. Lisa Brady, Fox News. The FBI chief telling a Senate hearing Iran is a threat to the U.S. and not